Can't we all just get along?
Please.
Please.
Road rage incident led to an exchange of gunfire on 84 in Hartford.
Oh. I say, good heavens.
Oh.
Exchange of gunfire.
I drive through there a lot.
It's getting worse, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
It's
really
getting worse.
Yep. A back and forth, that's pretty bad.
Right.
Well, who got really surprised when it's like, oh, yeah? Pang, pang.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Yeah.
He has one, too.
You're shooting back?
Didn't expect that one.
Oh, damn.
Happened around 10:30 a.m. on Saturday.
So early.
See? What? Parade time.
Seems like, a little, it's a little early.
That's like when I get my breakfast sandwiches. Like, on the road.
It was over there.
You're happy.
I'm happy. I got my country music on.
A
windows
coffee.
Down.
The day is just beginning.
Right. Tony's got her head out the window. Pow, pow.
Officers were deployed to the area of 84 westbound exit 47 for a shot spotter activation. Upon further investigation, police said it was a road rage incident which ended in an exchange of fire between two drivers.
Yeah.
No injuries were reported. The driver, who alerted the police, stayed on scene. Police described the suspect car as a gray Hyundai.
The bullet holes in it?
Probably stolen. They asked anyone with dash cam video of the incident or any other information to contact Trooper Jacob Dreschler at Troop H.
Huh.
What was your worst road rage experience?
I couldn't get it from the guy. I was,
it's the come on guy?
Yes.
Come on!
Allegedly did something to tick this guy off, and I had the most underpowered Monte Carlo with a clogged catalytic converter V6. Couldn't get out of its own way. You tie it with a calendar, right? And I cut him off, apparently, so he comes after me, and I couldn't get away from him. All I remember is just this big, fat, Fred Flintstone-looking head sticking up going, come on! Come on!
Maybe he just,
come on!
Maybe he just wanted to get around you.
No, no, no. He was like, come on, like, pull over. Yeah. It's like a beat your ass in.
Let's fight.
And I finally lost him by stopping at a red light. Waiting till traffic started and went right through the red light.
Yeah.
That's
so
smart.
He couldn't get through.
Yeah.
Because he was like a bad fat Terminator. Come on!
The bad fat Terminator.
Come on!
That sounds like a good
He's
movie.
He's just going to sit on you? Like, what was his name?
The bad fat Terminator.
His head was enormous.
Yeah.
Wow. Enormous.
I crush you with my left thigh.
Like almost the size of my torso.
That's when you see someone that big.
Yeah.
You know, you could punch them for like an hour straight.
Yes.
And they would just still like not even feel anything.
You done? Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was probably my worst, most scariest road rage ever.
That's a good one.
Come on.
Come on.
I'm like, when you go faster, car, when you I get rid of that V6 and threw a nice fat V8 in that car not long after that.
Yeah. I told you I had that. My worst one was on 84 in Southbury. This pickup truck came up. It was, you know, I could, it was like he was in the back seat.
That was the brake check moment?
Yeah. Brake check.
Yeah.
I'll give you the short version, but the guy went nuts. I mean, like, I set this guy off by brake checking him.
Yep.
He wanted to literally murder me.
Right. He wanted to wear you like a suit.
And then he drove around and cut in front of me and locked him up.
Yeah.
And he had a U.S. Army sticker on the back.
Oops.
Now, first, if I knew he was a veteran, I would have never pulled that.
Yeah.
Of
know,
course.
I,
of course.
But I should have done it anyway, no matter what. It's a human being. I should just get out of the way.
Instinct.
You know what? If I get out of the way, he goes, everyone's happy.
Yes. Yeah. Life goes on.
All I have to do is just move over. Why didn't I just move over?
No, come on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. No, I remember. I did move over. And then, you know, if there's those left lane slow people.
Uh-huh.
I moved over. And then he moved over because the left lane slow people. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah. Now I can't do much more here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Work with me here. Work with me here.
And stop.
Right.
But I was like, man, I can never do this again.
No. It all takes at one time.
If that guy had a gun, we'd be dead. He was so
incensed.
What car
mad.
Were you in?
What?
What car were you in? Yourself?
My daily driver.
Your daily, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
it's terrifying to see someone just like not in control
completely
of their rage.
Unhinged. Yep.
Completely out of control.
Yeah, he would have like just tore me apart. Like, first of all, he's in the army, so he's a trained killer.
Yes, he's trained. He's like, which way should I kill him?
They spent a lot of time on how to kill people.
Right, right.
Let's see. Today's with weapons.
Right.
Today's with this.
Could just snap his neck.
Today's with a shovel.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I can just flick him really
today,
hard.
Today, just hand-to-hand combat.
Right. Yeah.
Today, we're going to learn fatal headbutting.
Right.
You know? Oh, and he looked like a headbutter.
Yeah.
Like,
he was like one of those guys who, like, he would just use, you know, every part of his body to just inflict pain on you.
Like, or like their eyebrows look muscular, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, do you lift on your
I didn't even know
forehead?
You could work that part out.
Yeah, like an anvil for a head, yeah.
What does your forehead lift, bro?
Yeah. So then I retired, and I was in retirement for years.
Yes.
No break checking.
Right.
I came out of retirement last week.
Oh.
Brett Favre.
Right.
I Brett Favre.
It happens.
Yeah.
Too early.
This person deserved it, but it was a, you know, it's stupid to do. It's a dumb thing to do.
It's a break check to take, people. Yeah.
You're escalating.
Yes, you are.
I don't always brake check. I just dip the speed limit. Like,
I just come right
below.
Off the gas. Exactly.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Like, oh, wow, yeah.
What's this like now for you? You don't want to get over now?
See, you're going to slowly decelerate from 73 all the way to 61 if it takes it, whatever it takes.
No, what I do, I just punch it and just leave him in the dust. Bye.
Yeah.
Make as much distance between us as possible.
No, but this guy was not only he was tailgating me, but then he would back off. And then drive in like he was a bull charging a, you know, a rodeo clown.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what are you trying to accomplish here? What are you doing?
Yeah.
You know.
Scare attack?
And then he's like charging me and I'm like, oh, you're going to have a good time right now. Boom.
Right.
It's a break. You hear, and he's like swaying and smoke's coming up.
I thought you wanted to hit me. I thought you wanted to hit me.
You know, I pray he had like a loose like lid in his coffee cup.
Sorry, thought I saw a turtle.
Ah! I've got Kramer on my crotch.
Yeah, I want to apologize to that person.
Oh.
No hard feelings.
You had a bad day. Yes.
I'm sure they do that to other people too. You weren't the only one.
Yeah.
You know what's terrifying is being a passenger when the driver you're with loses their mind.
Yes, there is.
There's nothing you can do.
Yes, it is.
Let me tell you, Phil.
When they're yelling at a person through your ear.
It's funny because if Jennifer is the driver, she's the mad lady.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
It's got a bad
but
visual.
If she's in the passenger seat, she's this embarrassed victim. Like,
she's like a church
oh my
lady.
God. Oh, no. Please, 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 hon, let him go. Let him go. Let's just let him go.
I love it.
And she covers her eyes and she, like, you know, tries to roll herself into a ball so, like, no one could see her.
Right. Like an armadillo bug. That is the worst, though.
Yeah.
There was another road rage incident.
Oh, jeez.
Involving a firearm in Connecticut.
Huh.
Oh, no.
This one in Wallingford.
Oh, it's moving around now.
Ooh. 23-year-old woman was arrested Sunday morning. Sunday? I'm easy like Sunday morning.
I know,
really? Be
has
a Commodore.
Anyone heard the song?
Be a Commodore, for God's sake.
This is breakfast time. Is everyone hangry?
Why are you so mad? It's Sunday morning.
The Lord wouldn't like that.
23-year-old woman arrested Sunday morning following a road rage incident in which she allegedly waved a gun at another driver.
Said, hi.
I'm not going to read her name. Okay. She was charged with multiple weapons-related offenses after police received a call around 7:49 a.m. 7:49 a.m.
And someone going to work? Maybe?
Yeah.
Sunday morning?
Yeah.
I have to open the thrift shop.
I'm late.
I'm late.
Right.
I'm opening the gun store, for Christ's sake.
So police received a call around 7:49 a.m. about a suspect following another vehicle with a verbal altercation at a local gas station.
Oh.
The caller reported that the female driver driving a gold BMW followed her out of the gas station and attempted to pull up next to her and display a handgun.
Oh.
Did you drop this? Is this where they found the gas station? Is this yours?
You left this on your back bumper.
Right.
I'm sorry. Is this yours?
Officers responded to Delta Food and Fuel to begin the investigation, which led them to her residence.
Uh-huh.
She was found waiting
in a parking lot with her arms raised and confessed that she was the person they were looking for. Smart to have her arms raised, because when you hear there's a gun involved, you don't want to make any weirdo movements.
No, you're not. Yeah, don't even sneeze.
Look sketchy.
Yep.
She handed over a Crossman SNR 357 snub-nose pellet and BB CO2-powered revolver.
Oh, she could have broke
the
skin.
She had a BB gun.
She could have broke the skin and caused a nasty infection.
You know, had she met the people on 84, that would have gone very badly
yes,
for her.
Yes, it would have.
Yeah.
Right. That's worse.
Right. Like pow. Patink, patink, patink. No. Yeah, you want a boom, boom, not a patink.
Remember those BB guns that didn't really have a lot of power? Like
yeah.
If you pointed the barrel down, the BB would roll out.
I had those.
Yeah, me too.
Those are the only ones I got. My mom wouldn't let me have a real right. Even, like, this is not even worth having.
Even the birds laughed at me.
Yeah. Dad, I think you almost cleared the roof on that one.
Hey, look what the hunters got.
Officers discovered that the BMW used in the incident was hidden behind an apartment building. No additional weapons or contraband were located in the car. She was charged with criminal possession of a firearm. Really? A BB gun?
I guess.
Illegal use of a firearm, breach of peace, operating motor vehicle with intent to harass.
Did she drive a kid?
That's the first time I've heard that one.
Yeah. Me too.
Wow.
And operating motor vehicle with a suspended license.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Oops.
Got it all down.
What do you think the bond was?
Oh, man, I'm so bad at this.
That's a really good list.
On that one.
Oh,
it's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Those are a few things. Maybe 150.
100, like 150,000?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. That was way higher than I thought.
Yeah, me too. I'm thinking like maybe 2,000?
2,000?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I thought like
maybe
50.
Maybe just like 50,000.
Yeah, I thought 50.
Maybe I'm a, yeah.
That's a lot of firearm charges.
Yeah, Ruth? Not a firearm.
I'll say 75,000.
The charges say firearm, AJ.
And the harassing.
And the harassing, yeah.
And the suspended license. Don't they dock that a lot, though?
Actual bond?
So maybe I was...
$5,000.
I was so close. Booyah!
I will never get this right.
Wow. It's a lot of money. I'm $5,000.
She probably has that. She has a gold Beamer. What?
She has an AJ.
Couldn't afford a gun, though.
It's made of gold. Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No.
So I was at school at college. And this kid had a fake BB gun under his pillow. When I happened to look over, I saw it, and I didn't know it was a BB gun. But you shouldn't be having any kind of anything like that in college as it is. But, you know, BB guns and regular guns look so similar, you just don't know anymore.
Yeah.
Mm.
But everybody just seems to be at their last nerve.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 You know?
AJ, I wish you all the best. I know you're going to beat the hell out of this thing.
Oh, thank you.
Love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
Great
you,
call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep.
And then there's a horrible story out of Orlando, Florida. A customer killed by Checkers worker in dispute that allegedly started over extra mayonnaise.
Extra mayonnaise.
And not worth it.
He wanted extra mayonnaise.
Right.
Got into an argument.
Got extra, extra.
Guy comes out of the drive-thru, sees him at the counter. They're arguing. The guy says something bad to the Checkers worker.
Yeah.
Checkers worker pulls out a gun from his waistband.
Oh.
Shoots him in the chest.
Damn.
Oh,
the guy's dead.
That is not Checkers protocol.
This is why we just have to be better people.
Right, just take the order.
Yeah. You want more mayonnaise? Have more mayonnaise.
I don't care.
I have 50 mayonnaise.
My milkshake has mustard. I don't care. It tastes good this way.
I don't care, man. It's your mayonnaise now.
Maybe it's a mayonnaise shortage. I was bringing it home to my kids.
I get not liking mayo, but not enough to hurt somebody.
Right.
Or maybe want him extra mayo.
Yeah. The customer wanted more mayonnaise. I want so much mayonnaise.
No.
Right. Man, give him extra. They give you extra ketchup. Yep.
It's not going to come out of the guy's pay. Just give him the freaking mayonnaise.
Yeah. Usually it's just a packet here. Here's another packet.
Or there's cups pre-made. You know, you go get a...
I don't trust those.
All right. But here's a story where... The good guy, good girl.
One.
Cool. Thank you.
No problem.
13-year-old girl in California beat up a grown man who tried to attack her. She says she was walking home from school when the guy popped out of between two cars and tried to punch her.
Oh, hey.
but she knows how to handle herself because she's taken jiu-jitsu classes for 3 years.
Oh, boy.
Yes.
She was able to fight him off, run home, and was uninjured. Police are still looking for the suspect. Here is Sensei Michael Blackburn talking about the escape.
Halfway home, a gentleman was standing in between two cars, and he stepped out to punch her in the face. She punched him. She wrapped it, got him in a headlock, kneed him a couple of times, spun him around, threw him on the ground. And she had stepped on his foot doing all this. And when she threw him to the ground, she broke his ankle. I told her we were proud of her. And she did exactly what she was supposed to do.
That's a lot of hits in.
That's my hero.
Can you imagine?
Right.
This guy thought, I'm going to whatever.
Right.
And it turned completely, you know, by like the fourth punch from her,
yep.
He had to be like, damn it, I picked the wrong person.
Right, bruises. Yeah, right. Career in crime, bruises,
broken ankle, and a size 5 footprint on your forehead.
All right, if you have a dog with any kind of a behavioral issue, especially if it's like dangerous.
Uh-huh.
Call in right now, 203-882-9757. We got a dog trainer on the phone right now who says that there's not a dog he can't help.
Nice.
He can't save. He's opening a first-of-its-kind rehabilitation center in Connecticut with a focus on dangerous dogs. Good morning, Justin Michaels.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for doing great work with pets.
Yes.
Yes, it's my pleasure. I feel it's my calling, and I'm happy and thankful to be able to do it.
What do you think of that Dog Whisperer show?
I grew up watching that show. You know, he's absolutely a dog lover and has a gift. If people stayed with him over the years, they saw that he went through a lot of controversy because. You know, people want to, they want to rehab a dog with, kisses and rainbows, but, he was doing God's work and he definitely put some dog training on the map.
Tell us a story of a dog that was going to probably be put down because it was just too vicious and you brought it back.
Oh, there's many, many, many,
give us one good one.
Yeah, one that comes to mind is a dog named Bingo.
Bingo.
I had some clients. Yeah, his name was Bingo. I had some clients here in Bristol, Connecticut, where I live. And Bingo had been seen by multiple Connecticut dog trainers. And the family was told that he could not be helped and that he should be put down. They rescued him. They brought him home. And then he started showing aggression. He was hiding under the bed. And this family, you know, they couldn't. They couldn't swallow that pill. So they kept doing their research, thank God. And they reached out to me and we did a 4-week program with Bingo. And what he really was missing was confidence and self-esteem. Without confidence and self-esteem, the dog will have to try to take over their environment because they don't have control of themselves. And so we gave him confidence and self-control and discipline. And we made him feel good about himself, but not all through hugs and kisses. A lot of dogs are missing a purpose and a sense of direction and support at home. And not all support is good boys. Some of it is giving them direction and guidance as well. So Bingo today, I think that was 4 years ago. Bingo's living a great life. I just heard from his family recently, and he's a wonderful dog. He goes camping with them. He's great with the kids. So that was a beautiful story.
Wow, that's a great story.
Campfire songs, B-A-N-G-O.
So
know.
It's I knew you were going to. I'm surprised it took so long.
I know. I was like, when's the song coming?
Because I'm a good boy.
See, I'm just
boy.
Biding his time waiting.
I'm a good boy.
So you're not just training the dog. You're training the people on how to interact with the dog.
Yeah, I mean, if you, you know, I get down, as you'll notice, and a lot of people know me for, I get down to the heart of the matter. And the fact is that there's no animal in the world living with stress and anxiety but humans and the dogs that we've commandeered and domesticated. So when you look at dogs, if you imagine them before we, you know, domesticated them, they weren't stressed. They weren't anxious. They were figuring things out just like the squirrels and the raccoons and the bunnies. And then we take a dog and we take them out of their natural environment. We bring them into a human culture. And who could possibly teach a dog how to be successful in a human world except for a human who's created the world and brought them into it? And so a dog owner's responsibility. You know, dog owners are so obsessed with being loving, and love is definitely on the menu. You know, I've got five kids, and my wife and I are very loving. But
five kids,
wow.
Yeah, four with one on the way in the next month or so.
Wow. Congratulations.
Look at you.
Wow. Yeah, you got a little herd.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, well, someone's got to train these dogs, guys.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. You're building little workers.
So, yep. Job security.
Yeah, the fact is that love is a responsibility. And when you love your dog, you have to be honest and look at the dog and say, what do they need? Not what do I want to give, what's easy to give, but what do they need? And so part of my program is to educate owners and have them understand what is the dog saying when they're barking like crazy out the window, or they're lunging at dogs walking by, or they're chewing.
Oh, good. I want to cover all that. Cool. Let me conference in Andrea in Monroe. She has a dog with some issues. Hey, Andrea.
Hi. How are everybody?
Hello.
Good. So I have a 3-year-old. She's a border collie bully mix.
Okay. Border bully.
And yeah, border bully. And when she falls asleep, she will pop up out of sleeping and attack the closest person.
Oh, what's she dreaming about?
Yeah, she'll flip her paws in her dreams. She wags her tail in her dreams. She yips. She growls in her dreams. We don't know what to do.
Those border collies are amazing.
Yeah,
amazing dogs.
We've had her for about 3 years. No, 2.5 years.
And you got her as a puppy?
We got her as a 4-month-old.
Oh.
Okay. And what is she like when she's awake? How is she on a leash? How is she with visitors? Is she generally anxious or is she pretty peaceful?
She's super excited over visitors. She's very territorial about the yard. We don't, when we have family over, we don't let her engage with everybody. She's happy to just stay in her crate. She's an anxious dog. She's anxious and fearful. And we don't know how the hell to change that.
Yeah, that's something that we can help you with. The reality is that dog's anxiety and nervousness in their day-to-day life is no different than a human weighing on them even in the night. And, you know, if you think about a human that's filled with anxiety and depression and frustration and they're having stresses at work and in their daily life, that person doesn't sleep as good as the person who's peaceful and content and has, you know, has peace. So the answer is to address the dog's adrenaline and fear and anxiety about the yard and about visitors, and you'll see those issues go away at night. And
it's a border collie. Shouldn't it be like out with guests?
She needs a job. That's
a job.
The problem.
Yeah,
she needs to like get out her energy. And
well, they're herders.
Yeah, they do.
Right. That old backyard thing. We've had experience with border collies.
She could chase my son around. I'm running out of steam chasing him myself.
Nice. Good job. I'm ready.
That's what you need, Phil. Right. Yeah. Border collie.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. Fetch Mateo.
Well, keep that dog will keep Tay in the yard.
Exactly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Seriously. Yep.
So is your information going to be hooked up on the website?
Yeah. We're going to post his info.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks, Andrea. Good luck.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, thank you.
We have a dog trainer on, Justin Michaels.
Yes.
And he says there's not a dog, AJ, that he can't bring back.
Nice.
You were talking about, like, excessive barking. What's the fastest you've taken a dog that just wouldn't stop barking and got it to stop barking?
So the vast majority of dogs barking like crazy out the window at visitors and even leaves falling and whatever, they're barking because they don't have self-control. And if they don't have self-control, they need to control what's outside of them. And so the reason why they're barking is to be heard, to be seen, to get people to go away, to get people to come closer, to get the door to open, get the door to close. And so the path to peace is through self-discipline. And the quickest way to teach a dog to be peaceful is to give them work at that time. So build a habit between someone ringing the doorbell. Normally the dog would go crazy and bark.
Uh-huh.
We have a command called place. Place means that we walk the dog over to a bed or a cot or a crate, and we offer them a treat, and we make a deal. If you can focus on me during this time of stress that you're clearly not having fun with, I have a reward for you. And in the end, the greatest reward is that the dog is more peaceful and doesn't live with that panic.
Huh. It's all about a treat.
It really is a big motivator.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the treat is the reason to go to the crate.
Right.
To go to the cot, to go to the bed. But the big picture reward is that the dog lives in peace. But yes, the treat also acts as what we call a lure, and it can give a lot of information and tell the dog where could they go, since they clearly don't know what they're supposed to be doing right now. Dogs are not barking because they're mean. They're not even biting because they're mean. They're doing all of this because they're panicked and they're not getting enough help from us. And that's what we teach every day.
Chris and Meriden.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Good.
Good, good. Wanted to call in. I have a rescue, I believe, Australian cattle dog mix.
Wow.
She is reactive towards other dogs. I work with another trainer in Connecticut who I've been working with now for a couple years. And we have...
A couple of years.
It's long working out.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yep. She's been far... When we're able to catch it, her signs of reactiveness, when we're on a walk, she'll stop. We're able to stop it. But then there's times where she won't stop. And she just goes into the red zone, and we can't walk past the other dog. We'll have to walk the other way. She'll lunge and bark, and it's just stressful for everyone. So I don't know if there's any tips you can have over the phone, but that would be great.
How did your trainer of 2 years teach you how to say no?
What do you mean?
There it is. The greatest thing that a trainer can teach you, not with a puppy, but with a reactive rescue dog, is how to say no. Imagine that a parent, I mentioned before, I have four kids and a baby due in a month. Imagine that I can't tell my kids no to them running around the pool on vacation. That's how kids drown every day. Imagine you can't tell your kid no to going in the street to get their ball. That's how kids get hit by cars. The inability to tell your dog no has them not able to trust you, because you can't keep them from the hard times that they don't belong in.
How should you tell a dog no?
And so that's a tough gig on the phone, but the reality is that there's two outcomes that a dog can observe in life. It's praise and pressure. And praise is something of value that makes you want to do something again. Pressure is something that has some level of discomfort that makes you not want to do it again. The reason why dog
Chris,
owners
your phone
are
noise is killing me.
The
no.
reason why dog owners are... yeah, there you go. The reason dog owners are running far from pressure...
No. I know how to say no. Quick. Who's a bad dog? Chris is a bad doggy.
Woof, woof. The reason why dog owners don't say no is because they don't know how. It's not easy, and it's definitely not fun. But,
I tell my dog no all the time, though. That's for sure.
I get told no all the time. So, no.
Well, the difference is, does he understand it, right? That's the big
obviously.
Question.
Obviously. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, gotcha.
And are you getting different. Consistent messages in the house? You know, yeah. Are there different people giving different messages? Chris, thanks for calling in. We're going to post Justin's number up on the website. Thank you, Chris. Good luck, man.
Yeah. Please call me, Chris. Happy to help.
Justin, you sound great, man. And
thank you.
What a cool job. It sounds like you're meant to do this.
Yes.
Thank you.
Call him for my dog, Tony.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep, she's a little crazy on the leash.
Come in and see if you can get AJ to learn some new tricks.
No. No. I want a belly rub.
Dog trainer and rehabilitator. Justin Michaels on the show. Thank you, sir. All right, you're about to hear an explosion.
What?
That is not Papa Roach. 99.1 PLR, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Four homes damaged after a box truck explodes in Addison, Illinois.
Mm.
The truck is just driving down the road. It's picked up on a Ring camera.
Very suburban neighborhood, too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just driving down the road, and you just see it just
gone.
Whoa.
Pieces, man. Gone.
Look at the
pieces first, yeah.
Flying.
Yeah.
Flying. Here's the audio.
About what they eat.
Happened around 9 a.m.
Oof.
On Saturday morning.
Oh.
It's a nice, peaceful morning.
Right. Wake up.
And all of a sudden.
Sorry.
And the truck was in motion. It wasn't parked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like driving down the road. You see it driving down the road.
And it just cleared up property and then boom.
Just became pieces.
Yep. Big pieces, little pieces.
A Penske truck had exploded, leaving a trail of debris 1 to 2 blocks long.
How about they bought the insurance? The extra $8, the insurance.
Thank God you're not like near someone jogging or walking their dog or.
A lot of lucky people.
Yeah.
Or a glass place.
There was clothing. There was damaged furniture everywhere. Four homes were damaged in the blast. One was left temporarily uninhabitable due to damage.
Yeah.
Sorry. One wall of the box truck hit a load-bearing wall.
Oh, man.
Of a nearby home, pushing it 2 to 4 feet inward.
Ooh. Whoa. That's some blast.
That's terrifying. Yep.
The homeowners were home at the time, but weren't hurt.
Nice.
God.
I've had Taco Tuesday before. That was some boom.
Yeah, that's a crazy.
They kind of describe it as an earthquake and then like a tree falling on their house.
Yeah, that's a lot to have happen in like 4 seconds.
Yeah, it'll wake you up.
Imagine you're having morning sex and it's like, wow!
Yeah, you can never compete with that. That at one time only.
She's like, was that you? No.
Chaz and AJ.
At one part of waking up, the explosion from a truck.
Wow. He's made a jingle.
Nice. See?
That worked.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah, call in if you've ever witnessed or been near an explosion. 203-882-9757.
Might have caused one.
Might have caused one.
I liked fireworks a lot.
Oh.
Addison police said an investigation by police and the county bomb squad and the ATF said it was caused by a leaking propane tank in the truck.
Oh, yeah, propane, man.
Scary
mess with that.
Stuff.
Mess with that. Yep.
So this guy was moving, and he just put everything in the back of the truck,
right,
including the leaking propane tank.
And a spark showed up, and kaboom.
Don't do that.
Yeah, so probably didn't pack it well in the truck, and then like something hit the knob and turned the knob, and now it's leaking propane. And
yep.
Yeah, or maybe he wedged it in the corner and like the can scraped against the inside of the truck,
right,
made a spark. Who knows?
Note to self, buy a new gas grill.
Oof.
Well, that guy lost everything.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Became a yard sale.
Except his life.
Everybody's yard.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when police arrived, the truck driver was walking around the truck.
Wow. That's amazing. He was knocked out from the blast or
something.
I'm
surprised he was alive.
Seriously, man. Propane, you don't mess with that. I guess everything, like, you know, was behind him, must have shielded him from the blast.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Here's the statement from the rental company. The vehicle involved in this incident was rented out to a customer who was moving household personal belongings. Penske will cooperate fully with any further investigation by law enforcement. Under Penske's rental agreement, explosive, flammable, or otherwise hazardous material should not be transported in a consumer rental moving truck.
Oh, that part you forgot to read. Yep. Whoops.
you ever see those rental agreements?
Yep.
You're just like, here's my credit card.
Yeah.
Tell me how much.
Initial here.
Show me where to sign.
Right. Blah, 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 blah,
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sign, sign. Initial.
It's 19 freaking pages.
Yeah. Keys. Come on.
I hope he took the insurance out, though.
Exactly. Extra $8. Yep.
Dave in Manchester.
Yes. How you doing? I remember I was a kid. I was like 13 years old. I was we lived in Bolton at the time, and there's a street that had a pretty steep, windy downgrade. And there was a recycling truck that was that was traveling down it, and I guess the driver didn't know how long the road was or how steep it was. And apparently, from what I remember, the air brakes kind of went out or they overheated. Oh. And the driver, the recycling truck, ran right into Route 6 going into Bolton. And the truck hit a gas truck, tanker.
Oh.
He bought a tanker right on Route 6.
Damn.
Did he live?
No, it was wild. We were right on the corner there. It was Steele's Crossing and Route 6 was the street, and the driver did not survive.
Oh,
of the recycling truck.
Yeah,
but we saw flames were like taller than the trees. It was wild.
Wow.
Damn, man.
And what kind of an explosion was that?
It was. I mean, we didn't see the actual mushroom cloud, but we saw the flames afterwards.
The fireball
went out the window.
Yeah,
the fireball. I'm pretty sure it was gasoline, but it was. I mean, the wires are all melted, and the driver of the tanker survived because of where the recycling truck hit.
But yeah,
it looked like it was gonna come right into our house. That's how tall the flames were.
Holy crap!
Damn, man.
Well, thank you for checking in.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Good show, guys.
Thank you.
His hair was all singed.
All the marshmallows on your house.
Good.
Wow.
Damn, man.
Warren in Watertown.
Good morning, folks. How's everybody this morning?
Good.
Hello.
Good. Hello there. Yeah, listen, this had to be at least probably 25 years ago. Friend of mine and myself were driving east, going up Meredith Road in Waterbury, just cruising along, going to a friend's house Friday night. This van was coming westbound, probably doing about 80, cut right in front of us, went across a bunch of lawns, and exploded into the side of this house.
Oh.
Flames everywhere. I don't know what the guy had, and I guess he was a welder or something, so tanks caught on fire, a couple explosions. We ended up running up to the van. Kind of stupid in a way, but our adrenaline was so crazy.
Yeah.
And he ended up
pulling the driver out.
Wow.
He pulled the driver out, thank God. And he lived to come back to the house and thank me, and come to find out it was a small world. I knew one of his cousins, and just one of those crazy, floopy things. But
you saved his life.
You did, man. Yeah. You're a hero.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was when...
That is a hero.
Yeah, because he could have died.
Oh, I know.
No explosion.
Yep.
Yeah, we didn't even think about it. We just reacted, pulled them out, and, you know, got them as far enough from the house and the van as we could, you know? And then we just took off. And then about 2 weeks later, we got a call from Mayor Santa Petro when he was in office back in the day. And he invited us to some ceremony, gave us an award and all that good stuff.
But nice.
Thank God the driver survived, and we survived. Everything was fine.
Cool.
Holy crap.
Pretty crazy.
Let's get the van.
Debbie in Oxford. I'm sorry. On the road.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Good
morning.
Good, thanks.
Well, I saw a pretty famous one, unfortunately. It was back in 86, and I was in Orlando Airport, and I witnessed the Challenger explode.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
It was just surreal, and I was actually on my way to moving to Connecticut.
Wow. You know, we're responsible for that. You know, we made the O-rings that failed.
Yeah, bad claim to fame.
So, another great thing Connecticut is.
Go us.
Right.
Yeah, go us.
History making, not in a good way, though.
That was something. You know, watching that was horrific because that teacher was going up.
Yeah.
And it was...
we all paid attention to it, yeah.
We're all watching it.
Yeah. Could you hear it? I mean, could you hear the explosion?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's terrifying.
It just went up.
Wow.
It just, I mean, because it goes up from, you know, you're on the Space Coast and we were right in Orlando, so it was smack right there.
Right. Yeah, the announcers had a tough time because they pretty much knew, but they had to kind of play it.
Right.
Whereas, looks like there's some technical difficulties.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Trying to keep a positive spin on it.
Right,
but, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was tough.
Well,
that whole thing was tough.
That was
back before the internet.
Yeah.
Okay. That was back when they had to roll a television into the classroom for you to watch television.
Yes, that was fun.
There were a lot of classes where it became very awkward.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I remember that morning I slept in and I woke up to my mom yelling in Spanish downstairs, like screaming at the TV.
Oh,
and I
really?
Knew when she left English and went to Spanish, something bad happened.
Something bad happened.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
All right, Debbie, thank you.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
All right,
thank
you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Jeff and Monroe.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Happy Taco Tuesday.
Yes.
Taco Tuesday.
I have actually three explosion stories, but the biggest one was I was on a cruise ship and the boiler exploded at 4 in the morning and woke the whole ship up. And thank God we were just pulling in the port of Miami. And we were stuck there for about half a day before we were able to onboard. It was a year after 9/11, so they wanted to make sure it wasn't a terrorist thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And then the other one was I saw the French plane. I was on my boat in Long Island Sound at dusk. I saw I still say it was a missile that went.
What, Flight 800?
Yeah,
the one that it was going over. It was going over Long Island when it exploded. They were going to France
when it exploded.
Yeah,
yep. I still say it was a missile because the FBI came to my house and interviewed me twice. And
yeah, they said there was some kind of light streak that went from the ground to the plane.
There's a lot of problems with that story.
Yeah.
And it looked. I thought it was a signal flare at first, so I called the Marine Police and said, "Hey, somebody's launching signal flares out there." And they're like, we don't know about any of that. We haven't had the reports. And then next day, FBI called me up. They said, we heard you reported something. I was like, oh, yeah, I saw it. They're like, you didn't see that. It must have been something coming down, not up. I said, no, it was going up.
And they said, no, you didn't see that.
The third one, I blew it myself.
Oh.
I was pouring gasoline in the morning on a big brush pile I was burning in one of the local towns I had a burn permit for. And I didn't know that gas fumes stay on the ground when you're pouring gasoline a lot.
Okay.
And when I lit it, the whole area exploded around me.
Damn.
In fire. I didn't get burned or anything, but it scared the crap out of me.
It asked yourself.
Do it.
They did this crazy
different
dance.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are my three explosion stories.
All right.
Yeah, you've had enough.
Thank you, Jeff.
No more.
Yeah, you've had enough.
No more for you.
You guys have a good day, AJ. Keep the good fight.
Thanks, man. We'll do.
Well, I was 11 years old in Shelton, and Walking Tall was on the television.
Oh, yeah.
And it just went off.
Uh-huh.
And there was a big explosion, and I thought the first floor apartment just blew up.
Right.
Because it shook, and I fell on the ground.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? We looked downstairs. There was still a downstairs.
Okay.
So we look out the front window, and we could see down the street there's a giant orange glaze.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, it must be a house fire. Let's go. So
right.
Walked down there. It turned out to be B.F. Goodrich.
Oh.
It was... I believe the biggest explosion in the history of the United States at that time.
Wow.
No one died. They got all the, it turned out to be an inside job.
Yeah.
It was the owner of the factory.
Oh.
And he tried to blame it on this terrorist group called the Weather Report back then.
I remember those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. But these guys rolled in tubs and tubs of 55 gallons full of fuel.
Oh, boy.
And that thing, when that went, it sucked. It needed so much oxygen to explode that it sucked the glass out of all of the businesses blocks away.
Wow.
Oh,
because
my God.
It needed oxygen, and it just the suction of it taking the oxygen pulled windows out into the streets.
Damn.
Right across the street from B.F. Goodrich was the gas facility.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And there was a lot of concern that, like,
If that goes,
it's going to be bad.
Right. Now's a good
time. We're going to have the biggest explosion and the second biggest
in
succession.
We should probably leave. Yeah.
Yeah. And then right across the street, years later, a couple decades later, the River Restaurant exploded.
Yeah.
They were doing gas work there.
Yeah.
And it was the team Christmas party. I was supposed to be the DJ.
Yeah.
And the building blew. Six people died.
Yeah.
Including the person I talked to who said, yeah, come on in. Come early and set up.
A very nice lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah. Randy in Manchester.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Hello.
Good, thanks.
A restaurant exploded.
All right, so what do you want to hear?
The shortest one you got.
Yeah, what do you got?
You want to hear what I caused, right? So I was in 10th grade, dating the love of my life. We broke up, right? Me and my best buddy decide, yeah, we're going to burn or blow up some of all our memorabilia, correct?
Right.
So I lived in a dead end with a lot of woods. So we bring out a big dresser drawer, fill it with all our stuff. And my mom back in the day used a lot of aerosol hairspray cans.
Of course.
As you do.
Yes.
So we load about 5 or 6 into the drawer with all the memorabilia. We throw a little flame on there. Did not know that it was going to actually explode like it would into the woods.
Uh-huh.
And cause a woods fire. So then we're so young, we run back to the house to get these plastic lawn chairs to try to put the fire out, correct?
Right, because that always works.
And then they start melting. The chairs start melting, and all of a sudden we hear police and fire trucks coming down.
Time to go!
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, so we live right over here. There's no video. There's no cameras anywhere. We can just sneak back in the house and watch this all unfold.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But there's definitely a little sneaky neighbor who, like, peeks out the window.
Got ratted on.
So, like, I'm 15. We're in 10th grade. So me and my friend sneak back in the house. Fire truck comes down, police, probably 5 police, 2 fire trucks. They put it all out. Everything's kosher. No one died. Knock on the door. And I'm like, both of our hearts just drop.
Yep.
I tell my buddy, just hide behind the door. Right? Knock on the door. They open. Mr. Raymond, we have a witness and this and that. I said, yeah, sure. Yeah, it was me. Well, what happened? I said, you know, my girlfriend and I broke up, and I was just trying to get rid of stuff. But I didn't think, you know, on the aerosol cans, they didn't really tell me it was going to blow into, you know, a big flame into the woods.
Yeah, lasting hold. Yep.
Yeah, we tried to put it out. It didn't work. So they said, well, we heard there's an accomplice. I said, what do you mean? Oh, it was 2 people. I said, no. I'm poking my friend right behind the door. I'm never turning no one in, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, I fly solo. It was just me. Right? So
we're going to have to wrap it up. Right.
Very simple. Get community service. Go to high school. The janitor writes it off because one of my buddies never do anything, but big mistake. But can I shout out to my love, my wife, Julie Raymond, okay? I love you, Julie.
Is that the one that broke up with you?
No, I broke up with
she
that girl.
She mended his heart, right. I guess.
This
is dresser two.
All right,
yes.
Very good. Alice Cooper played Mohegan Sun over the weekend. Combination of schools out. Really cool.
Wow.
He sounds great.
Yeah. Nice. Meaning the words.
And then really big news that we're excited about. Alice Cooper reignites with the original band members, Michael Bruce, Dennis Dunaway, and Neil Smith for the first time in 50 years with the Revenge of Alice Cooper. The upcoming album is set to release July 25th via Ear Music and also features original guitarist Glenn Buxton, who passed away in 1997. It's the group's first collaboration since 1973's Muscle of Love. The project is produced by Bob Ezrin.
Nice.
Who has a longstanding history with Cooper, having worked on iconic albums such as Love It to Death, Killer, School's Out, and Billion Dollar Babies. On the phone now is our old buddy, Neil Smith. Good morning.
Good morning, gang. How are you doing today?
Good. Thank you for being up this early.
Yes.
Being a rock.
You're welcome. welcome. I think that the revenge of Chaz and AJ has a little ring to it, too.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Our boss says that all the time.
Have any revenge that you can think of?
Nothing just yet.
How did this project come about? Whose idea was it?
Well, you know, we've been, since the Hall of Fame in 2011, we've joined Alice and put two or three songs on his last three solo albums, Welcome to My Nightmare, the sequel, Paranormal, and Detroit Stories. So it's kind of been building, and a couple of years ago, actually it was during COVID, we had, in 2019, we played at the at Alice's Solid Rock Foundation has a big annual event called the Christmas Pudding in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's a huge fundraiser for them. In 2019, the original band, Dennis, Mike, myself, and Alice, we played, and Johnny Depp joined us on stage, and Joe Bonamassa. And
oh, wow.
It was sometime after that that Alice, just said that, it's time. Ear Music has been doing his, out of Germany, a record company, has been doing his solo albums, and the collaboration between them and our manager, Shep Gordon and Bob Ezrin. And they came to Dennis and Mike and I and see if we were interested. And we basically said, yeah, we've been interested for 50 years.
Nice. Thanks for finally asking.
So, we were patient people to a point.
Yes.
So that was when the first time it was. I mean, we'd, been in the studio over the last 10, 15 years recording together, and it's the same as it always been. Yeah, it's great. We have a blast. That's why we do it. We take our music very seriously, but we kind of it's like a roast all the time when we're together. We're busting each other's chops, and it's always been that way since high school and college, and we continue to do that to this day. So it makes it fun for us, and it takes a lot of pressure off. But so that's how it came about. Alice asked us, want to do it, and we said sure, and we'll do it again if there's another opportunity in the future. But we're just so happy to celebrate the release in about a little less than 2 months now for the album The Revenge of Alice Cooper, with 14 brand new songs on it and two bonus tracks.
Can't wait.
Yeah, what would you compare it to? Can you compare it to anything you've done with Alice? Welcome to My Nightmare, School's Out, Billion Dollar Babies. What would you compare it to?
Well, I can't compare it to anything, because I always think every album is unique. But that's a great question, and from what the feedback we've been getting, they're getting the killer era. And that, which was 71 into 72, right before School's Out. And it's got that dark, ominous Alice Cooper. Yet there's still some real, I think some single, more upbeat songs like School's Out. So it has that great combination. But I think it puts it right in that early 70s era. And that's just the way we write. I mean, Bill, so what do you think about that? No, you don't think about anything, We all have songs. Dennis Dunaway writes. Mike Bruce is our main songwriter. Alice writes songs. I write songs. And we just threw a bunch of them together. And then Bob Ezrin helped us, sort them out. And we came up with the new songs and put them in there, and they just it feels like Alice Cooper. I mean, we have a chemistry that most bands that have recorded for many, many years, they have a style of their own that can't be duplicated. And Alice is great, and his solo band is great. We're friends with everybody in the band that just played up at Mohegan Sun. And we love those guys, and we've done shows with them in the UK in 2017. So it's just, it's the combination, the formula, the chemistry is always a little bit different. But ours started a long time ago before we even recorded. We were playing live. So, it's an ongoing tradition, and it has to, Bob Ezrin had to be involved. I mean, he's a great producer. I mean, Love to Death was the first album he ever worked on, and it was our third album. But, so we all basically, it was our first successful album, Love It to Death, in 1971. So it was all part of the process of recapturing the chemistry that we already done, and the albums that we just recorded a few songs on. I just mentioned Welcome to My Nightmare, Sequel, Paranormal, and Detroit Stories. Those were all with Bob Ezrin, and he has to be. I mean, literally, now it's unfortunately Glenn passed away in 1997.
Yeah, how did you get him on the album?
Well, there's, I mean, it's the four of us on the album, Alice, myself, Dennis, and Mike Bruce, and we all recorded it live in the Carriage House in Stamford, Connecticut, and we were all in the studio together, but, you know, we're used to playing with two guitar players, and Glenn was no longer around, so Rick Tedesco, who is a great guitar player, he's in the Danbury area. He's worked with Dennis on his Dennis Dunaway solo projects and my solo Killsmith projects. So he was the second guitarist that was in the studio with us, and he's worked with Dennis and I for you know, over 10 years, maybe 15 years. Oh. So we, you know, we're very comfortable with him. He's a very professional, quick learner. And so we all sat down together, and we and Bob was in the studio with us, and we just started putting the tracks down. We were there for about not quite 2 weeks, and Bob was would have been knocked out if we would have gotten about, you know, 4 or 5 bed tracks, but we got all 14 bed tracks done at that time. And so it was recorded live, all of us together, not pieced, you know, pieced together from all over the country. We were in this same room. Alice was there. Alice has to be there, too, because when he's singing, that, you know, that gives us direction, and we know where we are in the songs, and it all adds to the to that chemistry. So it's, I mean, it's 100%, you know, Alice Cooper. We needed some, Rick Tedesco played some lead. We had a Hot Rod, up-and-coming guitarist, Jazzy out of Nashville, Tennessee, who came in and played a lot of lead, and we did. One of the tracks we had to redo in Nashville was called Intergalactic Vagabond Blues. There were some problems with the drums recording at the Carriage House in Stamford when we did the original tracks in 22. So the next year, which was, I guess, 2024. We went back to Nashville. Dennis and myself and Alice. Michael Bruce didn't make it back to that session, but eventually he overdubbed his all of his guitar work on there. But Jazzy played the guitar, played lead, and we did a cover version also. Which I'm not big on cover versions because we never really did that, but Alice thought it would be cool to do something back in the day when we used to play the clubs in Arizona and do a lot of Yardbird song. And so we covered the song Ain't Done Wrong, which was on the Yardbird's first album. I'm a Man was a big hit, and I love that song, but Ain't Done Wrong was the one song that Alice had mentioned and said, yeah, okay, we'll do it. And Jazzy nailed the lead on it. And,
nice.
And it's got great harmonica, and I love Alice playing harmonica, and Intergalactic Vagabond Blues, Alice also plays harmonica on that song.
That sounds like a nice throwback.
Yeah.
Drummer Neil Smith on.
So it kind of, you know, went full circle for us.
Yeah.
With Alice Cooper. I have about 15 more questions, but I ran out of time. Next time we have you on, I want to talk to you about your live shows with Alice in the early days, because you guys were doing stuff on stage before Kiss, before Gwar, before anybody.
Trendsetters, yeah.
You were trendsetters,
yeah.
And a lot of great stories here. So we're going to pick up there the next time we have you on. Neil Smith, always great to hear you, and we'll be looking for that Alice Cooper album in July. Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Have a great day.
You too, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily.
Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.